You are about to enjoy a production of the Ella Wellness Network. This is Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, and I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to the Wellness Sisterhood. We're going to have just a little wellness girl chat today, a little wellness yap session, because Wellness Fixes the Pod is officially 6 months old today as we release this episode. It is week 26 since the start, episode 26 since the start. So it's an exciting day. I can't believe I've made it, 6 months of filming consistently and podcasting consistently once a week. So I appreciate you guys for following along. And today we're just going to have a little wellness girl chat, a little big sister wellness yap session, and dive into some of the questions that I commonly get. So I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, a board certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy and a pelvic floor physical therapist and the owner of the Ella Wellness Sisterhood. And a little background on this podcast. I started out as a way for me to sort of educate and guide and do more long form content after a challenge from one of my cousins. She was like, Kelsey, you know what? You should try and start a podcast. And I always thought that I wanted to eventually with Ella Wellness, but I was like, you know what? Not yet. Let me just like get my footing before I add one more thing. But the podcast has truly been a way for me to dive into some super duper cool trendy topics, but clear the air on some of the sort of like trendy phrases surrounding them and back it up with truth and science and physiology and anatomy and neurology and all of it. So I've absolutely loved doing it. I've loved educating. I've loved teaching. I've loved researching. Like, it has been so much fun. And so I'm so happy we have reached 6 months today. And again, I thought it'd be a special episode. So I had asked for some questions or different things that people have had questions on related to their health and wellness. And so I'll get to those today, and I'll get to some of my answers surrounding those questions and sort of how I approach different components of my own health and wellness. So if you've followed along since the beginning, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it, all of your support. Like, it has grown more than I ever thought, honestly. Like, anytime I look at any of the metrics on certain episodes, I'm like, oh my gosh, we have people from around the world actually listening to me talk about what I'm passionate about and listening to me and supporting me in what I enjoy sharing. So I just can't thank you guys enough. Again, thank you for all the reviews, all the sweet comments, all the ideas, all the recommendations, anything that you guys have that you want me to cover, please, please, please. I want to make this a resource for you guys and a place where you enjoy coming to each week. Two friends recently, who are both listeners of the podcast, so I'm very grateful for them. But they were like, you know what? I was listening to the menstrual cycle series in particular, and they were like, I just leave feeling calm but informed. And another friend was like, your voice is so calming. So my hope is that these podcasts can be a way for you to feel calm and make wellness seem less scary, but also informed in that you're able to make decisions and make choices for your own health and wellness. And I just thought that was like one of the highest compliments, because I don't like listening to my voice. I'm sure no one likes listening to their own voice, but knowing that they're leaving calm but informed made me very, very happy. Because again, if you've listened to any of my previous podcast episodes about how I like working out, I like calming music, I like calming atmospheres, I like calming vibes. So the fact that these friends of mine were like, you know, it's calming but informing, was like one of the best compliments. So just overall, thank you guys for following along, and thank you for listening, and happy 6 months to Wellness Fixes the Pod. So I wanted to start off with why I created the podcast, or why the name, and why I consider the Ella Wellness Sisterhood like a community of big wellness sisters. And it sort of speaks to me, because I am a big sister. I know nothing different. I am the oldest. I have two younger sisters. I'm one of the older cousins too on both sides of the family. And so I have a lot of like my sisters, my cousins, like a lot of people who have been in my life, and and people who have like asked me for different advice from time to time on friendships, on relationships, on health, on wellness, on so many different things. And so being a big sister is something, and one of the older cousins, just someone people like ask questions and know that they can come to for advice, is something that I like really am grateful for, and I'm grateful that they feel comfortable approaching me with those sorts of questions. And so that's what I wanted LO Wellness to be about too, is I want people to feel that LO Wellness is approachable. It's a space where you can come and feel calm but informed to make your own decisions on your own health and wellness, and to cut through all of the noise. And I feel like big sisters, you know, you listen, and I have older cousins, so I consider them and friends who are older than me, and girlfriends who are older than me, and I consider them sort of my big sisters. But you always want people to go to for advice, and in my sort of life, there's no one that I trust more than the people that I consider big sisters. And I would hope the same for my sisters and my cousins, that there's no one that they feel more comfortable going to, or just more, yeah, just like more willing to go to than me for certain health advice, wellness advice. Like, I want people to feel like the LO Wellness Sisterhood is somewhere they can come to learn about their bodies, be informed, ask questions, dive a little bit deeper, and then share that with the world. And so my hope is that this sisterhood is just a community of big sisters going out and spreading the truth and spreading good information to all the other, like, sort of wellness sisters in the entire world. And I think as a big sister, you know, I get challenged a lot by my little sisters, which I want us all to challenge what the common ideals are of wellness, or what is being portrayed on social media. Like, what is the actual truth underneath all of those things? So I want us to be able to challenge it. I want us to be able to ask questions. And I want, no matter, you know, I've had my own sort of setbacks on my own health and wellness journey. And I know, you know, relationships or just certain life things that you have setbacks on, and you go to a big sister or a mentor knowing that they won't judge you. And so I want this LO Wellness Sisterhood and the Wellness Big Sis podcast to be a place where you don't feel judged either, even if you've fallen off the wagon in your health and wellness or whatever that might be, a place where you can always come back to without judgment, full of love, like knowing that my hope is that I will be able to support you in whatever way, and that this whole community will be able to support you in whatever way you need, just like a big sister would be able to. So I feel like we all need that sort of Wellness Big Sister to help pave the way for us. And I know I have them in my life. I feel like I pride myself in being that person for others. And my hope is that this community can be filled with a bunch that we can just, again, yeah, go share all the good information, all the good knowledge, so that people can be more empowered in their own health and wellness, and especially women, because I do feel like that's where my passion lies. And I feel like it's just hard being a girl. So why not have a space where we can come and clarify certain things a little bit more? So for episode 6 months, we're going to get into a little bit of Wellness Big Sis advice, a little yap session. I had people reach out on certain questions. So I think there's maybe 3 or 4 big ones that we'll sort of dive into today, and just sort of, yeah, wellness girl chat about it. So the first question was, how do I even start on a wellness journey when everything is so confusing and contradicting? Which is such a great question. So I grouped this into kind of 2 questions, like, how do I even start on a wellness journey? And then how do I cut through the noise in all of the health and wellness information that's shared online? So for starters, when starting on a health and wellness journey, I look at it as needing to start really slow and setting small attainable goals. For me, it's easy for me to look at this in regards to movement. And so for movement, anytime I feel less motivated, I will simply like go for the lowest barrier to entry. I'll go for the activity with the lowest barrier for me. So usually that's a walk. I'll be like, okay, 5 minutes or whatever, a circle around my block, and let's see how I feel after that. Or, okay, Kelsey, just one core circuit, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then see how you feel after that. And usually once I get over that barrier, I'm more likely to continue my workout, to continue my walk, or whatever that is. And even for sleep, right? Sleep is one of my goals right now, but looking and seeing how can I make small steps each day build up to improve the overall time that I'm able to sleep and the quality of my sleep. So take it slow and small attainable goals. So that could be 5 minutes of a workout. That could be setting your alarm to go to sleep like 5 minutes before, like actually being purposeful, or putting your phone away 5 minutes before you normally would, like super small attainable goals. I also think a lot of people look at starting a wellness journey as this big sort of or health journey, and I say wellness journey, that could be any goals. That could be movement, fueling, whatever, sleep, stress management, whatever it is. I feel like it seems like this lofty thing, but it's also, I want you guys to remember, if you're in this position, that it's a great time to start to set up foundational principles. You can look at it as an opportunity to reset, especially if you're restarting a wellness journey where you've been off the wagon for a little bit and you're like, you know what? I don't feel as good in my body right now. I need to start moving more, fueling my body better, hydrating better, whatever it is. Think of it as a restart to really set those foundational principles. Even, you know, I don't know if any of you guys have ever moved, but anytime I move, I clean out my wardrobe. I clean out all of the different things in my kitchen appliances that I don't need. Or, you know, you just have these things that sort of build up in your life. And especially when you're moving, that when you do move to a new house or a new place, you want to sort of purge. And I look at it starting or restarting a wellness journey in the same way, where it's a time that we can set up those really, really solid foundational principles. So you should look at it as sort of exciting, where you're like, okay, you know, this is the reason I fell off the wagon, especially if you're restarting. Like, this is the reason it didn't work before. What am I going to change now? How can I set up those good foundational principles now so that I'm not ending up in the same situation I was before? The other thing to mention is, and this is super important to me, but you're going to feel extremely motivated in whatever that journey that you're trying to go on at first is. So whether it's movement, whether it's fueling, whether it's mindfulness, whether it's sleep, whatever it is, like whatever component of wellness that you're trying to improve on or start, you're going to feel motivated at the start, but that motivation is going to wane a little bit. And so it's important to find that deeper why behind why you want to start this wellness journey. So for me, I have, and again, I know this is like overkill, and you guys have probably, if you've listened to me for a while, you probably know this concept already, but I have the concept of the longevity fund that is sort of my deeper why and something I come back to when I start to lose discipline or I notice myself getting off my wellness wagon a little bit. And so the longevity fund for me is, as a physical therapist, I see patients every day who are on some sort of healing journey, whether that be from pain or a surgery or whatever. And the patients that heal the best are the ones with the largest longevity funds, meaning they are the ones who have consistently put in little healthy habits day after day throughout their life. You know, drinking the appropriate amounts of water, fueling themselves the right way, a little workout, a little mindfulness session, breath work, like controlling their stress, whatever it is. It's these little habits every day. And so I look at my own sort of wellness journey on any little habit that I do. So getting to bed on time, that is another deposit in that longevity fund. Moving in a way that feels good for my body and that's agreeable with where I'm at in my menstrual cycle, add that to the longevity fund. And so over time, it's this sort of enlarging fund that when I go through an injury, when I go through a mental health crisis, when I'm in a traumatic accident, or for some reason my wellness journey is going to take a pause for a period of time, I can come back to that longevity fund knowing that I have the reserves to pull from and knowing that I'm going to be able to get back there again. So that's one of my deeper whys. The other one is because I want to be able to move and enjoy life in the way that in the best way I can for the longest amount of time that I can. And so that feeds back into the longevity fund, where I would love to be 80 and being able to sit crisscross applesauce on the ground with my grandkids and then getting up and moving and being the grandma to swing on the swings or whatever. So I think about those things, and being able to do that at 80 is due to all of these habits that I'm putting in right now into that longevity fund, even when I'm in my 20s. So that's sort of my deeper why. And an example for you guys, if you want to steal that one, go ahead. It definitely motivates me. But find whatever that deeper why is to come back to, rather than just aesthetic changes or, you know, even feeling clear-headed. Like, all of those things are great, but feeling the best in your body is like priceless. And so a lot of the times, the longevity fund and being able to move when I'm 80, I want to feel the most confident and the best I can in my body throughout life. And so that's what I come back to when I am either like have fallen off the wellness wagon a little bit, or I feel like would be super helpful when coming back and restarting a wellness journey or starting a wellness journey for the first time. And then the last thing I have on this is the KISS principle. So keep it simple, stupid, which I don't know if that's a a principle that I've heard or if that's like super common, but when cutting through all the noise on social media, on podcasts, on wherever you're consuming content on health and wellness stuff, keep it simple, stupid, right? So move, hydrate, fuel, sleep, pray, and relationships, right? Just come back to these basic pillars where, okay, am I moving? Am I fueling my body the right way? Am I sleeping? Am I hydrating? Am I spending time with friends and family and with people that I love and that love me? And am I doing some sort of prayer, mindfulness, like breathwork session to really hone in on more of that spiritual and psychological component? So forget all of the loud and crazy like product recommendations or fitness program recommendations and just come back to those basic pillars and keep checking them off the list every single day, and you'll eventually have this nice routine and this nice pattern for yourself as you're either restarting a wellness journey or re-embarking on a wellness journey or even just starting a wellness journey, you know, from the very beginning. The next question was, how do you set goals? And I took this as sort of broad. So for my business, I get more micro about it, I guess. I have like an Excel document and a spreadsheet. And again, like all the marketing people are like, why are you still using Excel? But it's what I know. It's what I'm comfortable with. So I have monthly goals that I set, and then I break it down each month into what I want to do for each of those goals. And usually the monthly goal is like a broad goal. So it's like, you know, outreach or research or think, even like create something like that, something really broad. And then I dive deeper into that each week of the month. So that's a little more micro. I have a feeling that's not what this person was talking about, but that's probably the most organized I get with goal setting. As far as wellness goals, there are some times that I do set goals. So for example, I've done a few triathlons and what's it called? Like the swim bike component, aqua bikes. And so that's a way for me to have goals for myself in regards to a race. I've also set goals to run twice a week. So those are more sort of movement goals I have. But in general, I look, especially in the form of movement, I don't really have goals anymore because it is such a lifestyle for me now, where you get to the point where it becomes part of who you are and part of how you feel good in your body. And so you're more motivated to do that. So for movement, it's kind of easy for me to have that consistency without needing to set goals, unless I want to do a triathlon or I want to do an aqua bike or I want to be able to run more or whatever that is. So I will add wellness or movement goals when it comes to that. But for other wellness goals, I'm very motivated by metrics. So my Oura Ring is very good at telling me physiologically what's happening. So recently, my sleep has been declining over the last 8 weeks is what it says. And so sleep is a main goal of mine right now. Stress management is always a main goal of mine. And cardiovascular health is always a main goal of mine, which is, and again, more recent goals, because those three I don't necessarily focus on as much as movement. Cardiovascular wise, that's where I threw in the 2 days of running to sort of test that heart muscle a little bit more and actually push it to its like greatest capacity so that I can help improve my heart health. But for sleep, it's easy for me to set goals based on the Oura Ring. So I can see when I went to bed, when I woke up, and how I can shift that quality again based on my cycle too. So tracking has really helped with goal setting because I'm able to see over time how my goals have shifted or how my metrics have shifted based on the actions that I've put into my day to help those goals. Stress management too, that is one I am like really, really working on. And that comes in the form of visualizations, which will come actually as like the next question. But I am very purposeful with my Apple calendar, and I try to, especially for visualization and bringing my body more into that parasympathetic state, I have it on my Apple calendar as like a goal that I want to delete as soon as I do it for the day. So I'll click the goal, I'll delete it, and then I'll move on to the next day, same thing. So it's like checking it off a list. So that's how I make sure to do the actions for the goals that I set. How I set goals, again, is based more on the Oura Ring, and the metrics that I find are declining over time, but you can also sense this within your own body too, I'm sure. Like you can even just hand track your sleep, what time you're going to bed, what time you're waking up. stress management too, you can do it on sort of a 10-point scale where each day you're like, okay, you know, Monday I'm more on like an 8, Tuesday I'm on a 9, you know, whatever it is. That way over time you can see how your stress management is. But I rely heavily on metrics for my goal setting, especially when it comes to wellness. And then the last question, what is your self-talk and affirmations look like? This person said positive self-talk. What does your positive self-talk and affirmations look like? I will say my self-talk is not always positive. So I am actively working on this, and this comes back to that stress management and that more mindfulness. I call it expansion too. I've recently gotten out of a season where it was just really, really challenging mentally, especially where I had to rely on my longevity fund a lot because movement was the thing that I can control, which is easy for me to do, but my mind and where my mind was going was not as easy for me to control. And so that's why I've been really focusing on sort of stress management, mindfulness tactics, and expansion and hope and dreaming and realizing that, you know, good things can happen to me. And so that's where my self-talk and affirmations are, like, that's what they're guided by, is where my brain and my mind have been over the last like really difficult and challenging season for me. So my self-talk is definitely not always positive. I think I read a book one time, it was Get Out of Your Head by Jenny Allen. It's a faith-based book, but it talks about how most of our self-talk and the thoughts that go through our head each day is negative. I forget the percentages, but it is negative. And so my goal is to switch that. And it's a really active process because once your mind has been going through these negative cycles over and over and over again, you have to be the one to stop it. And it is in your control, but it's a very active process. And so I'm learning that right now. I'm actively working on it to stop the spiral of negativity that can happen with, you know, different circumstances that come our way. So my current affirmations look like, I am capable, I am resourceful, I can execute. And I say those, and I try and say those every day, a lot of times throughout the day, especially when I notice myself getting in that negative spiral. For as far as mindfulness and visualizations go, I was working on this with my therapist actually probably, gosh, the last time I met with her. So maybe two or three weeks ago, but she had me focus on why I felt like a little bit of a block or barrier mentally. And so the visualization that came up for me was me in this pasture with a fence around me, and it was an easily climbable fence, but in this visualization I was not wanting to climb over it. I didn't feel comfortable climbing over it. And so each day I've sort of focused on that pasture and on that fence surrounding myself. And each day, the more that I sit with it and the more that I think about it and the more that I just set my mind in that space, the lower that fence has gotten, the more able I am to climb out of that barrier, the more able I am to expand my mind to have, you know, to be limitless, right? To not have any of those barriers that I previously had. So that gets a little bit deep, I guess, but that's where my mind went. And so I think this is a goal that I've recently set, is being more purposeful about having that mindfulness session every single day and that visualization session every single day to really rewire my brain so that I can approach situations with hope, with dreaming, with expansion, with opportunity, with good things rather than a negativity spiral. And again, it's a very active process. And I will say, as much as I have it, I have this on my calendar every day. I call it like a horse and pasture visualization, because in this sort of mindfulness and visualization, I love horses, but a horse will come up and sort of like, I'll jump on the horse's back and we'll sort of guide together in the pasture, and we'll run and go all the way through the fields, again, signaling expansion and opportunity and finding new horizons, I guess. So I have not been 100% compliant with that visualization every day, but that is something that I am actively working on right now, that I have a goal set for. Something that I'm working on is my positive self-talk to myself, and then also these affirmations. And again, it's a very active process. But the other thing that I've learned is not judging myself for having those negative thoughts or that negative spiral, just simply accepting it and then moving it on. There is a type of meditation, I think it's, oh gosh, I don't even want to say it. I can't remember the type of meditation where you notice a thought and just let it move on. And so I've really been working on that, just not judging whatever the thought is that I have. So I hope that answered your question about, again, self-talk and affirmations. But yeah, my affirmations right now, they change, but right now these are really speaking to me. I am capable. I am resourceful. I can execute. So I loved doing this little wellness girl chat with you guys. I hope you enjoyed this sort of free form episode and getting to know me a little bit more, getting to know a little bit more about the Wellness Big Sis podcast, the L Wellness Sisterhood. And again, thank you guys so much for following along. Happy 6 months to all of us. And again, I appreciate all of your support. Words cannot seriously like describe it, because anytime I see a new listener, a new follower of the podcast or whatever, I'm just like, wow, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It just means more than words can say. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and I'll see you guys again on the next Wellness Big Sis podcast episode.